Maybe.
Hello.
Oh.
It's on. That was Julian.
Hi, Aaron. What is something God taught you on this trip?
So whoever wants to answer can answer. And speak in a real spiritual voice.
God.
Shania.
Shania.
Hey. Well, on this trip, one thing that I felt God taught me was, like, just how his love was made for everyone, and how I don't know how to put it. Gosh. How it doesn't matter the circumstances you're in, you'll be able to experience God's love and kindness. He's for everyone. I don't know if I said that right, but yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to go over the schedule of what we did there, an overview of everything.
So the first night when we got there, the first day was all travel. And then the first 2 days were all teaching at a school that the missionary had built there. And so what we did was we taught English classes. Sophia and Daniel taught Korean classes. And then a few of us taught Taekwondo classes. And in the afternoons, we would do VBS at a different church. And then we would also do construction on other days. And then on Saturday, we hosted a youth revival for younger kids in the area who had gone to church for most of their lives and who knew who Christ was. But this was kind of like a special service for them. And then on Sunday, we attended church with the missionary. He preached a sermon for us. And then that Sunday night, we also hosted a service for adults who were from the area but had not heard of who Christ was or who weren't Christians necessarily. And then on Monday, that was our day off. And then Tuesday, we traveled. So it was a whole 10-day trip. Another person is going to share on what God taught them on this trip.
I want to hear from Will.
Okay. All right. So, something God taught me on this trip. He taught me a lot of things. I think the coolest thing he taught me was that, going into Peru, I kind of felt like since these were Peruvian kids and just Peruvian people in general, that it would feel a lot different evangelizing and having VBS, but I found that it wasn't different at all. It wasn't a letdown either. It was the same as it was here, and that was kind of that really brought into perspective how God's love doesn't or God's love can cross language barriers. Language isn't a problem, and then the fact that even though sometimes it was hard to understand those kids, or sometimes it did seem difficult. Nevertheless, God's love was the same just as it was, with VBS here or when we went to Masoya and things like that. So, yeah, that was a really big eye-opener for me in Peru.
Pass it to Max.
Where are you at?
Okay, something that God taught me on this trip. Just by looking at the little Peruvian kids, they were, really loving and, their arms are wide open, to hug us and seeing them made me realize that God loves us so much more than they do. And like feeling all these love from the kids make me like overwhelmed, and seeing like, wow, God's love is so much greater than these kids. It just brought a different perspective on God's love. And yeah.
Something that the thing that Max is referring to is that it's so weird in Peru. The Peruvian kids are unbelievable huggy. Like they just come up to you and hug you. Like I'm scary, so they'll be like this at first, and then they hug you. They just hug all of us. And then there was kids we would just pass around.
Fabricio.
You'll see it on the video, but all the kids everywhere were like, and some of the girls are a little too much boys.
What made this trip so great?
Okay, so for me, what made this trip so great? Since I went to Peru last year, this trip was a lot different, and I don't know if it was because we had more days and more time to really connect with the kids and everything, but for me, what made this trip great was the fact that our group never had a problem with unity at all. We were all so close and we bonded really well, and so I really enjoyed that.
And yeah.
Hello, everyone. For me, I also went to the Peru trip last year, and I guess the first few days I couldn't help but compare. Like me and Shine were talking about it also, like, oh, by this day we would be already going home, but we were still in our beds and like trying to take 20-minute naps instead of 3-hour naps. That's besides the point. So I think last year it was easy not to feel tired because we were there for a short amount of time. But this time, I was really challenged because I felt drained. I felt being tired. I felt frustrated. I felt more impatient to the kids when teaching English. And it was just overall harder for me. But I think what made it great, besides what Jill talked about our unity, is that we, as a group, didn't stop, I guess, pursuing our mission there. Every night, we would always have reflection with our team, and it always encouraged me that no matter what happened in that day, we were always able to just keep our eyes on God and able to jam at night, worship. And when the water went out, we were able to still pray together, to pray the water back. and so it was really encouraging to especially seeing the younger high schoolers step up, and I was really inspired by them. So that's why it was great for me.
So what happened was, throughout the whole trip, the center of the school that we were staying at would turn their water off at night, just to conserve water. But one of the days that we were there, we were told that the water was just not going to come on at all the whole day. And we were kind of like a little worried, but not too concerned, because we had like bottled water that we could use and stuff. But then the missionary came back from going out and talking to some of the local people, and he said that it wasn't going to come back on for 4 whole days. So we were going to have to go, that was on like Thursday, so we were going to have to go the whole rest of our trip without water. And so what he did was he bought these big tubs of water that they were selling that we could use to wash ourselves and all that stuff. And that was supposed to be the situation for the rest of our trip, where we were just going to have to not have any running water. But a group of, well, luckily, I don't know if this is why, but to us it's why, but a group of us got together and we like prayed for like 15 minutes straight just for like the water to come back on. And it wasn't just for us, it was like for people who were in the area who were in definitely like in much worse positions than us, and who weren't able to, you know, like afford to buy the water that was being sold, or to they wouldn't be able to wash themselves for 4 days or drink anything for 4 days, and that would have been disastrous for the entire area. And so we prayed and prayed desperately for those people and for the water to come back. And when we woke up the next morning, it was working, and we were all like celebrating. It was great.
And it was like Kudo and Aaron and the church were praying for water.
Hi. One thing. What was the question?
What this trip so great.
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely like unity. Like we all bonded together and we had no problem with like. We had no problem with like disunification. Is that even a word? Disunity. But I think the one great thing that I got to experience was the difference between Old Peru and New Peru. And Old Peru was, Old Lima and New Lima. Old Lima was where we were staying at, and there was no grass. It was just, everything was dirt, rock, and poop. And, like, some of the houses we could just, like, kick down with our own leg, and it was just a really, like, poor place. And then in the last day, we got to visit New Lima, and it was, like, nicer than Atlanta. And it kind of, like, made me upset because, you know, Old Lima needed to live over there. And the rest of New Lima got to have this, like, really great life with all this luxury and all that. So when I came back to Augusta, I had more content for what I had, and it was just a big eye-opener for me, because sometimes I wouldn't think much about my bed or like my shower or anything, but when I came back, I valued those things a lot. So anyway.
What is something that you'd change for next year? Something that you'd change. Like about the trip. What happened on this trip that made you laugh?
Oh my god.
This is what made you cry, but us laugh.
Okay, well, every night, we're staying at the school, so, like, there's, like, computers and, like, laptop and, like, expensive stuff there, so, like, every night the missionary, like, sets out, like, guard dogs, and they're, like, really big. They're, like, really big, and they can, like, kill us. So, like, I was staying in my room, but then I had to use the bathroom. So, like, I opened the door to see if the dogs were there, but they weren't. So, like, I ran into the bathroom. And then as soon as I, like, did my business, I, like, opened the door again, but, like, the dogs were there. So, like, I, like, shut the door, and I locked myself in there for 5 hours. Until they took the dogs away.
So you have to imagine the compound, the door, the bathroom is outside of the bedroom, okay? So when he leaves the bedroom, he has to go down the hall, and still outside where the dogs are, that's why. So when the dogs are put up at what time in the morning?
5:30.
So he had been out there for hours.
Oh, poor. But he had his phone.
But he had his phone. call anybody.
So funny.
All right, what else? What made you laugh?
I got one.
Okay. Just like. So all of us guys are sleeping in one room, and we all have bunk beds. And so we're all sleeping everywhere. The girls said it stunk a lot. But I remember one morning, all of us guys wake up because we got to get to breakfast or we don't get any breakfast. And so we all get up to breakfast, and of course, Chris likes sleeping in, so we have to wake up Chris. So one of us goes over to wake up Chris, and he kicks a water bottle. Not a big deal. We got water bottles all the time. But he looks down, and it's yellow. Chris didn't want to risk 5 hours in the bathroom again, so he took a water bottle. He actually took 2 water bottles. They were pretty nice size water bottles. They were full. But yeah, that was a funny moment. But yeah.
He tried to take them on the plane. He thought about it.
Anything?
Oh, next question is, what made you cry?
My eyes are hurting.
Okay, so one of those VBS days, there was a time that we were like praying for the kids, and so like other guys did, I was like praying for the kids, but I just got overwhelmed by Holy Spirit all of a sudden, and I don't know. God started to talk to me, and he like comforted me, so yeah, I started crying.
So there was this worship time where the church was kind of like leading some prayer over the kids, and so all of our team just started to walk around and just pray over these kids, lay their hands on their heads, and it was cool because these kids obviously had been prayed for because they would like, you know, fold their hands and then they would bow their heads and they would start praying with you, and some of the kids were like crying, and it was like moved crying, not like just crying because of whining. And so everybody was just like overwhelmed in that moment because it was so incredible. It was like our second day there with these kids. It was like 200 kids or something like that. And then Daniel is just sitting there, like standing up in the back, just bawling his eyes out. And he had earlier made fun of Sophia for crying. And he had said to Sophia, he said, "Is something wrong with your eyes? Do your eyes hurt?" Or something like that. And Sophia was crying. So that's why everyone makes fun of Daniel, because when his time came, everyone just was like relentless. Your eyes hurt, Daniel? What made you cry?
It's not that special. I mean, so I think leading up to like me crying that moment, I think I was really moved by the Holy Spirit. And then on the way to one of the VBS days, Daniel tagged along. I mean, he just came next to me, and then he just started asking me, "Hey, this is really not fair, right?" And then he just makes statements like that. You know, I just remember one thing that he commented when we got to New Lima. You know, there was a big ocean in front of the mall. So it's like, it's really glorious. And then he looks at me and he was like, "This is my father's house." You know, I was lost for a second. And then, oh, I got you. Anywho, so he was just talking about how unfair it is where we were staying because, you know, like Chris was talking about, there's poop everywhere, dirt, and the houses are all like just, you know, broken or whatever. So we were just talking about missions and 1040 windows, and I just started kind of getting teary eyes. And he was like, "Are your eyes okay?" You know. I was like, "Yeah, they're fun." And then we just started talking other things. And yeah, so that was me crying. Yeah.
description.
So every night, or I think every night, we would there was this little guitar that we had there, and we would just take it into the chapel after the whole day was over, and we had dinner and reflections, and we would just take time to jam, just have some worship. So even if we were really exhausted, like we had a lot of construction that day, or we had VBS for a couple of hours, and the kids are really crazy, so everyone's really tired, but it's really encouraging to see how everyone still took the time to come out and worship with us afterwards. So, yeah, worship.
Hey, Jill, explain the chapel, what it's like to sing.
What it's like to sing?
Sing in the chapel.
Oh.
So people get an idea of what it's like.
Okay, well, the chapel, it wasn't too big, but it was like a good size, I would say. But being able to lead worship and everything was really amazing because I couldn't really even like hear myself singing. Like all I could hear was everyone else, and I sing in Spanish, by the way. So like I could hear like all the youth singing too, and it was a really nice experience. But wait, I don't know how to explain the chapel.
Like what it's made
the
of.
The whole room is like the sound. Yeah, it's like
Yeah, it's really bouncy, and like the sound system they had, it was so loud, like oh my gosh, but like everything just echoed in the room, so like every time we jammed, like we sounded really nice, just singing.
But
yeah, it was really nice. It was like singing in a cathedral. Yeah.
What made you love?
Moved your heart.
What moved your heart?
Who had the mayonnaise kid?
Oh, Robin.
So we went to the preschool one day, and we were with the four-year-olds, which one? I don't know which one. Okay. And there were three girls in the classroom, and the rest were just boys. So they just had their little table in the corner, and they would just sit there and eat and hang out, just three of them. And there was one girl who would just drink mayonnaise packets. Like, she had a bunch of them in her lunchbox, so she would rip open the thing, put it in her mouth, and squeeze it all into her mouth. And then with what she had left over, she would squirt the rest into her hand and take her finger and put it in her mouth. And then when she didn't have enough, she would rub the rest into her hand like that. So, I don't know, it was really gross, but how does that mean? Why'd she say that? What?
So in VBS, a little girl came up to me and just wanted a high five. She wasn't a real big hugger, but she always loved high fives. And one of the days of VBS, I was giving this girl a bunch of high fives because she loves high fives. And she'd jump around and then she'd like run off and come back every once in a while and give me high fives. And it was great until Robin walks up to me and goes, "That's a kid that has been doing the mayonnaise." I was like, "Oh, okay. Okay." It was just a shock, but it was pretty funny. But yeah.
Josh is going to answer this question as well.
So, same, like, in VBS, we were just playing with the kids, and me and Austin were in a group, and there's this really one cute girl, and she was, like, really nice and playful. And when Austin went to go do something, I was just playing with her, and, like, I loved her. Like, she was so cute and playful. But I was playing with her, and all of a sudden, she stands up. she grabs her pants and grabs her underwear and goes, and then scratches the inside and then she just pulls it back up and she's like but I love her.
There were also girls that were a little bit older that had admired some of you, right?
Hi, my name's Josh. Josiah and Will Pulls. It's like Sunday, we're sharing our testimonies.
Do you want to talk about it?
I can talk about it.
I love you.
Oh. Okay. So, at the school, there were high schoolers as well as little kids. And we didn't really teach the high schoolers too much, other than Korean, as far as I know. But a lot of the older girls had crushes on us guys, because we're pretty good looking. But they took it to the next level. One of the girls had a hardcore crush on me, and I had no clue. She walks up to me and hands me a flowery box. It's a little rectangular pencil box, I guess. And I didn't think anything of it. I just put it in my coat pocket, you know. Continued on. This is right after the youth revival. And we had already done the dramas and all of the singing the songs. So I didn't think anything of it. And I went to my dorm because it was over, right, with the guys. And I opened it up. And it's this really fancy love bracelet. And it has my name carved in the inside of it. And then in the bottom, there's this folded up piece of paper, and I unfold it, and it's typed out. It was in broken English. And she did send me a Facebook friend request. And my face... A picture of my face is the back picture, the cover photo. So, yeah. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't friended her yet. She sent me a message, but I haven't read it. The letter basically said, "Your eyes are 10 good, and you're the first love of my life." So... I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm friends with her. So since we've gotten back, she's posted a couple of pictures on her wall of Josiah. And she also updated her status to Josiah. So oh.
How has this trip changed your perspective on life?
Great.
Yep, you're the only one who hasn't answered a question.
I think something that changed on the, perspective-wise, I'd say, like, it taught me how to, like, act out in faith in everything I do, and, like, also, like, when we pray, like, about the water situation, like, we can't pray thinking that, like, maybe God will do it, but we have to believe that He will do it, and, like, everything that we, Howard was, like, teaching us that, like, everything that we do has to be in like a spiritual manner and not like a worldly manner. We can't think like everyone else, but how Christians should think and make decisions based on faith. Yeah, I don't really know what to say.
I don't know what to say. She said it all. That was great.
What have you learned on this trip about God?
Ooh, jeez. What have you learned on this trip about God?
Yeah, you don't have to answer this.
Oh, great.
You're all.
What did you learn on this trip about
So, I'm not going to answer this question just right off because I have a little story to tell. Many of you guys may or may not have known this, but this flight was my first flight out of the country. And this is my first flight that I can remember at all. So it's pretty shocking for me. We rode Delta, so it was really nice. But I sat down in my seat, and I have this really old Mexican lady next to me. And I'm in the middle, and there's this really old businessman-looking guy. And I didn't know what to do. So I said hi to the business guy because I was thinking, oh, he's probably bilingual. And he was like, hello. And I was like, oh, he speaks English. Good. but long story short, we get to talking about God, and I get to pray for him. And that was really amazing. But I wasn't able to talk to the Mexican lady because she only spoke Spanish. But what I learned was that my plan for on the plane trip was just to put in my headphones and check out. And God was like, no, you're going to talk to this guy. And so what I learned was God moves in mysterious ways, even if you don't want him to. And it'll turn out okay.
I also have a little story. Okay, so on the night of youth revival, I had to share my testimony, and I also had to do this skit, which was, shout out to Jill, it was wonderful. Right before the youth revival started, as many of you know already, I was like sick during the trip, so like my stomach started hurting really, really bad. So I go to the restroom, and as I'm doing my business, I start praying because, like, the pain's the pain's not getting any better, and it's, like, getting worse and worse. So I start praying. I say, God, take this pain away from me. Have mercy on me. So I go down, and I go to the youth revival, and I'm, like, sitting in the back, like, crying because my stomach's in so much pain. And right as I stand up to do this skit, all the pain in my stomach like goes away, like vanishes, and I feel perfectly normal again. And so I do the skit, I do the testimony, and I listen to Howard's sermon. It was nice. And as soon as the sermon ended, like my stomach started hurting again. But it made me realize that if I didn't have my faith in God and if I didn't pray to him, then my stomach would have been hurting like this throughout the whole youth revival. And I realized that God is good and that he's always faithful and that he always shows up.
Josh.
No, not Josh. Robin?
No, it's Josh.
Oh, Josh.
And
Daniel.
Oh, wait.
Oh. They shared their testimony in front of all the Peruvian.
They shared their testimonies in front of Peruvian people.
You guys ready for the last question?
All the listeners at home. What kind of advice would you give to those wanting to go on a future trip?
Okay, so, like, before I signed up for the trip, I was, like, worthy enough to go just because I still felt like I was, like, a new, like, Christian or whatever. And so, like, having people pray for me and stuff and, like, just going on this trip, like, you just have to realize that, like, I don't remember that saying. What is it about God calls them? What is that phrase? Like, it's like, okay, I'm going to just say it how I want to say it. Like, like, God doesn't, like, call you because he thinks, like, you're ready and you know what to do. He calls you because, like, he's going to give you the tools you need to, like, serve and do his work. So, like, don't let, like, how far you are in your faith or not feeling worthy enough, like, hold you back from going on mission trips.
Mr. Phillip wants to ask a question.
Are you waiting for me?
Yes.
So it's kind of following up on Samaya's answer. Has any of you felt calling on this trip? I mean, I don't mean like full-time missionary next year, but...
Has anyone felt the calling to be a missionary or something in missions in the future? Spanish is Will's first language. That's what I found out on this trip. I mean, I was just saying, not like you have to answer.
Sam, I know you, Jim. I know you,
Jim.
She's just like,
I know we were talking the other night.
Nope.
You were saying how we were your next step in education to happen?
Yes. So Mr. Philip Kim was talking about a specific calling. Right now, so as many of you know, I just graduated from the best school in the world. And I'm just good one. I am really not sure of, I guess, my next step in life as far as education goes. But I think going on this mission trip has really opened my eyes to my Augusta family. I didn't mention this to you yet, but, so I guess God was really convicting me in staying in Augusta for a little bit. I don't know how long that is. but really seeing, I guess, this team and seeing the youth grow, I wanted to be a part of that as well. And more specifically, as far as, like, my career, I am still in the hazy area. I have different convictions, and if you want to know more about it, just talk to me one-on-one. And I wanted to be a doctor, and I still do. But there's different convictions that are within me right now. So that's what I got from this trip.
That concludes our presentation of Mission Trip Debriefing. Thank you.
Yes, sir.